this is a fairly extensive report, and really was a year in the making before its release. So along the way, talked with folks both inside and outside of government at the senior executive service level, as well as human resource professionals, lawmakers, the whole nine yards. So a great deal of work, a great deal of time actually went into this report, and certainly something that we think is the spotlight needs to be on, which is taking a good look at the senior executive service against what it was intended to do, whether or not it's lived up to those expectations, and if not, how to actually right the ship.
And can you, for people, because I think there are some people still out there who hear us talk about the senior executive service, but they go, okay, I don't really understand fully what it is. So almost before we sort of get into your findings about it, can you sort of fill in, folks, what the senior executive service is and why does this matter?
Sure. Senior Executive Service is actually about a 7,000 member, really designed as an elite corps, initially designed as an elite corps of federal leaders to look at and really function as its top civil servants within the federal government, career civil servants primarily. So while there's a change in administration and new leadership often comes into play, senior executive service largely in part maintains consistency and maintains the focus of the agency moving forward.
So let's take another step back before we get into the findings, because that's really what everybody wants to know, so let's delay it longer. Let's take another step back and talk about why do it in the first place. A lot of work went into this. It took more than a year. Why do it in the first place?
Yeah, you know, Amy, a lot of our work has actually been on the career civil servants within the GS and, you know, other pay structures and looking at what needs to be done to create a more effective federal workforce. And, you know, our best places to work rankings that were recently released, best places to work in the federal government, indicated that one of the top drivers of employee satisfaction is agency leadership. And what they meant by agency leadership, if you dig a few levels deeper, is not your frontline supervisor, but rather really top leadership within the agency. Often that means political appointees, but it also means folks in the SES. So there really hasn't been a spotlight on this for a while. It was really time to take a look at leadership within government, and again, start with the senior executive service.
So let's talk about those findings. We've gone over them here on Federal News Radio, both on the Daily Debrief and on the Federal Drive. Want to hear from the Partnership for Public Service, though, about the bottom line findings of this report.
Yeah, again, a lot of different findings, including that, certainly the recruitment, the application, the assessment, onboarding piece of this. You know, we've talked a lot about how there are some deficiencies and areas for improvement across the board. Certainly some of those same things apply to the SES as well. Recruitment is for SES positions is largely passive. It isn't something that, for the most part, a lot of agencies are spending a lot of time or a lot of effort on really ensuring that they're first and foremost attracting the right people, whether that be from inside government or from outside government. The hiring process has traditionally been really cumbersome and lengthy. I think during the last administration there were some experiments and some pilots just using resume based applications for some SES positions, and in fact one could say that the fact that they tried that with the SES positions during Director Springer's tenure at OPM may have actually been a little bit of at least opening the door to looking at that on a broader basis as well across government. Once you get in, there's a tendency within government and elsewhere that once you get into a management or a leadership position that you don't need leadership training or you don't need management training anymore as well. So certainly there are some improvements that need to be made in terms of what happens once you get into an SES position as well.
And what's the authoritarian nature of the report? Is this food for thought? Are these suggestions? How binding is this? Can they just take it and throw it in the Cuisinart if they want to?
Well, ultimately, we're an outside party, and you could just throw it in the Cuisinart. Cuisinart and hope that you know, something at the end of the day comes out to be delightfully tasteful. But yeah, it really is food for thought. Although, you know, frankly, as a result of this and the discussions leading up to this, one of the recommendations that the partnership puts forth in this report is that there needs to be a central office within the Office of Personnel Management that really consolidates all the various activities that are currently related to the SES program responsibilities. Consolidate that all into one office. And thank goodness, OPM actually, you know, through those conversations and everything else, actually announced this week that they were, in fact, standing up or establishing that office within OPM. So again, giving it, you know, again, that spotlight even within OPM itself.
And they are obviously taking it seriously. Have you been in communications with them too?
Certainly have been, and again, they were involved in the discussion of this report. You know, we certainly met with officials from OPM beforehand to collect what they thought was good about SES, what the SES program, where they saw some deficiencies in it as well. So again, this wasn't something, you know, like most of our reports, this was not something that that we simply put together in an ivory tower and you know, let it hit the streets.
But I mean, you also did work with SES. You didn't just work around them.
No, absolutely. Had conversations again with both SES, both current and former SES officials, as well as with associations that actually directly deal with the SES as well.
And so, what happens? We mentioned that they can Cuisinart. I felt like we were entering Top Chef, but SES style. But what happens with this report now? I mean, it one of the areas that needs. It sounds like there needs to be some legislative attention to this as well.
Well, certainly, you know, there are some legislative issues that are included in here, and you know, all of this is not directed at OPM. Some of it is directed directly at some of the recommendations directed directly to individual agencies as well for them to make change. Ultimately, you know, if change is going to happen in this area, it really involves Congress, it involves OPM, it involves the senior executive service folks themselves, and it involves each and every agency. You know, I think it's still yet to be seen in terms of how much of this, how many or to what extent the recommendations are put into play. But I think, you know, I think generally what this report was designed to do is put a spotlight on it, and until you put the spotlight on the issue, change isn't going to happen.
And one of the big issues that keeps coming up that I keep hearing about the SES is this issue of pay, frankly. Why would I, as a senior GS, want to basically sort of cap my pay and take more responsibility, and all of a sudden I have more, but am not getting paid anymore?
Yeah, and I think that's certainly, you know, one of the issues and one of the fairly significant recommendations that we make is that, you know, we do encourage Congress to de-link the pay for SES with theirs. The SES pay is linked to congressional pay. So, again, at some point, that does create some pay compression, and there are really good managers out there who would probably be very good SESers as well who are not taking that simply because it's a significant pay issue for them.
So what happens now? You done? Just wash your hands of it? You're finished? What happens now?
No,
that was
absolutely
a visual. I apologize for that. This is radio. I forget. You're not in here with us.
No, absolutely not. We'll continue to push this issue, you know, with all of the stakeholders in this. You know, we are looking to roll out a training program, for instance, for SESers as well. Again, looking at that leadership development piece. One of the things that I think the report points out, and again, not necessarily a complete surprise, but you know, ultimately, and this happens both within government and outside of government, but you often question sometimes who's actually moving into management positions as well. Are they managers who are moving into those positions, or are they technical experts? And if they're technical experts, that may be okay, but technical experts who don't have management experience can't be expected to appropriately manage, motivate, empower employees. So, you know, that's part of what we look at with this as well, is not only how you provide that management training, and the partnership will be providing some of that management and leadership training for SESers, but also, is there in fact all, kind of two tracks of SESers as well, which are SESers who are there because of a specific expertise in an area, a policy area or whatever, and then those who are there because they're really great managers.